Welcome to On the Move, Journeys and Pilgrimage in the Middle Ages, our tour of the Cloisters Museum and Gardens. My name is Valerie Allen, and I'm a Professor of Literature at John Jay College, CUNY. Track 1. You've now just entered Fort Tryon Park and are walking along Margaret Corbin Drive toward the Cloisters. The Cloisters Museum is a composite of parts of decayed monasteries and chapels scattered through France and Spain that were shipped over to the US and reconstructed in this place. So, as you walk through it, you are, in a sense, in medieval Europe and modern New York at the same time. And for this tour, you yourself are partly in the here and now, a modern visitor to the museum, and partly in the role of an actual pilgrim. We have cast you as a pilgrim from York, England, en route to Santiago de Compostela in northern Spain to visit the tomb of the apostle St. James the Greater. Look at your map. You could have sailed straight to Spain from England in just a few days, but you went by land through France. The year is 1492, a significant date, for as you journey to Spain along the famous St. James Way, following in the footsteps of countless pilgrims, a new world is opening up in the Americas. Follow the road, passing first the New Leaf Cafe on your left, then keeping the Hudson River and Palisades on your left. When you come to a fork in the road, take the right. The Cloisters is on your left, opposite the bus stop and section for parking. There are 8 tracks on this tour, with a brief 9th track at the end citing reference material. Each track relates to a different part of the Cloisters Museum and Gardens. At the end of each track, you will hear a beep and a message telling you where the next track takes place. Pause the podcast and, using your museum plan, walk to the relevant room to listen to the next track. But before that, let's travel back to 1492. The travel is tiring, the waiting boring. You are stuck at port for 3 whole weeks, waiting for a favourable wind to take you to France. Sea travel is the worst, especially in a storm. Your contemporary, the Swabian monk Felix Faber, writes graphically of the indignities of the sea voyage.
Each pilgrim has near his bed a urinal, into which he urinates and vomits, giving rise to an unbearable stench. Anyone who wants to go to the privy must climb over more than 40 people. If he bumps into someone along the way, insults fly.
There was so much preparation before beginning your journey. Paying debts, making a will, for who knows when you will see York again. Pilgrimage can be dangerous. One of the women in your pilgrim group is quite scared about the rumour of bandits. She carries a letter from her husband granting her permission to go on pilgrimage. Another woman is a widow. She made you think of the wife of Bath in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, on pilgrimage in hopes of meeting a 6th husband. You carry your own letter of permission from the Archbishop of York in your satchel. Guard it well. It's your passport. And you guard your money too, but it disappears so fast on so many things. Pilgrimage is expensive. If you look up, you should be able to see the Tower of the Cloisters set on a hilltop. It might put you in mind of your pilgrimage to Compostela, where, just outside the town, there is a spot at the top of a rise where the spires of the great cathedral suddenly come into view. Pilgrims often walk this last bit of their journey barefoot or even on their knees. Well, maybe another time. When you've checked into the cloister's museum and gardens, go to the Langon Chapel to begin track 2.